Tonight's shiur is in Parshas Miketz, and if we have some time on Chanukah as well, begin with the shaila. There was a Yehudi, a Jew that was a poor man, and one night he had a dream. He had a dream of the upcoming lottery that was to take place this coming Sunday. And he saw in his dream the winning numbers. It was clear. He saw like the numbers clearly in his dream. He woke up. He remembered the numbers. He jotted them down. And he said, that's it. I have the winning numbers for the lottery. Now, what was the shaila? This was before Shabbos. This was like, I don't know, Wednesday, Thursday, whatever. And the lottery was on Sunday. So he had to buy a ticket, you know, and choose these numbers. The problem with Shiloh was as follows. He says he's a poor man. He gets by just minimally with the minimum things for Shabbos, you know, a little gefilte fish or whatever, some soup. And if he, you know, keeps his regular minhagim for Shabbos with his gefilte fish and stuff, he's not going to have money to buy the lottery ticket. So Shiloh was, should he give up on some of his owning Shabbos and use that money to buy the lottery ticket, or not? Maybe he's not supposed to do such a thing and should just keep his Shabbos normally, which would mean he wouldn't be able to buy the lottery ticket with the winning number that he believed he had. That was a shaila. So what was the answer that was given? Silverstein said that we are told in the Gemara Rosh Hashanah that kol mizonos or shaladam ketuvim lo mi Rosh Hashanah, right? How much a person is going to have is already set on Rosh Hashanah. How much is he going to have that year? Just what a person has to put in is ishtadlis. That's all. What is that? The minimum something. Not that it's the ishtadlis as the svarim bring down brings the result. The result's going to happen anyway. What's coming to you is coming to you. He's got to do something. And therefore, any extra ishtalas a person does is a waste of time, and it's like pitul Torah, and it's wrong. It's an avera to put in extra ishtalas that you don't need. Now, what about ishtalas? In this case, his ishtalas would have been what? Not to have owning Shabbos. The lesson is owning Shabbos. So he says it's not shayach that's ishtalas that the Kadosh Baruch Hu wants to take away from your you know, onik Shabbos, that's a mitzvah, onik Shabbos. I'm going to take away my onik Shabbos, that's going to be my ishtadlus. How can something which is taking away from one's onik Shabbos be considered a mitzvah of ishtadlus? It can't be. Brings an interesting maisa with the Chaim Brisk, ties into this week's Sedra, why we're bringing this. That the Midrash says at the beginning, it says Mikesh Nasam Yamim is after 2 years, and Paro had his dream. What's the significance of 2 years? So the Midrash says that Yosef spent 2 extra years in prison. He was supposed to get out 2 years ago, but he put in too much ishtadlus by the Saramashkim, and he said to him 2 words, Zichartani, and he's Kartani. Because of those 2 words, you have to stay 2 extra years in prison. So the Britzker Rav asked this certain Rav, he said, I have a question. It says that Yosef said these 2 words, he was 2 extra years in prison, right? Fine. So he said, what would have been if he would have said 3 extra words? So the Rav answered, simple cheshbon, he would have been 3 extra years in prison. So it's fine, right? So now what would have been if he would have said only 1 word, not 2? The Rav said, well, it's also a simple cheshbon. He'd be 1 year in prison. 1 extra year, right? Because for two words, it was 2 years. 3 words, it'd be 3 years. So 1 word, it'd be 1 year. Says the Brisker Rav, wrong. Said, had Yosef said just 1 word, he would have gone out right away. Wouldn't have had to be an extra time. Says, why? He says, because ishtadlus a person is allowed and should do. So Yosef was allowed to do ishtadlus. What was his proper ishtadlus? Say a word. Say, yeah, mention 1 word to the Saramashkim, and so that's ishtadlus. Had he done that, just to be Yossi's ishtadlus, he would have gone out right away, because you're allowed to do a ishtadlus. Ah, but what? But Yosef added an extra word, which he shouldn't have. So you'll say, okay, so he added 1 extra word, he should be 1 year in prison for that extra word, an extra year. So he says, no, because adding that extra word, what did that show? It showed that
oh, I'm in control over here. It's not Kosh Baruch Hu's going to, I got to do something again. It's me. It's not this Yotzi Zayin with that one word. It's the extra showing that, oh, I got to do something. Ah, once he put in that extra word, that shows that the first word also was with the wrong hashkafa. Mimele, that's why he was punished for 2 extra years. But had he just said one word, he wouldn't have gone out right away, because that would have been Yotzi Zayin with Yishtadlus, and he would have gone out. Because he said an extra word, that shows even the first word wasn't there with the proper hashkafa. Mimele, he had to stay two full extra years. So back to our shayla over here. So the poor man heard this, you know, that he shouldn't put hishtadlus shouldn't be taken away from his onik Shabbos, but he had another taina. He said, but what's going to be, what kind of onik Shabbos am I going to have? Even with my gefilte fish, knowing that I didn't buy a large laundry, and I knew I had the winning number, I'm going to be so upset the whole Shabbos. That's called onik Shabbos? L'chura, because then I should be allowed to buy it. So he has something very interesting you saw it. So we see, it seems to be a stira in the Hilcha Shabbos. The one hand says a person has a wound that has pus in it. He's allowed to make a hole to let the pus come out in order to relieve the pain, if he has pain. Right? Since he has pain, it's an Isser Rabbanan to make this hole, and Isser Rabbanan not goes there when because of pain. Fine. Yet, we see another halach which seems to be totally the opposite. What's that? So if a person's house is on fire, Rachman al-Islam, he's not allowed to put it out. Even putting it out is not an issur d'oraisa, because he's putting it out in the, not to create something, but to put out the fire, whatever. It's an issur d'rabban, and you're not allowed to put out the fire. So the Mordechai asks, he says, is there any greater tsar than that? He's allowed to make a hole in his little wound over here to get the pus out, because he's a bit tsar, because of pain. Right, because the Nisr Rabbanan only, that therefore the pain is allowed. You see his whole house going up in flames. What, there's no, that's not called a pain? Not called tsar? Right, that he's not allowed to do for Nisr Rabbanan. What's pshat? So he says, following Chiluk, says that difference is, when did the Chachamim allow Nisr Rabbanan to be done for tsar? If it's a tsar of the goof, it's a physical tsar. But a mental tsar, seeing your house going up in flames, that's not physically painful, it's just mentally painful. So for when it comes to mental anguish, that they didn't allow, even in Issur Rabbanan. He said you should have a bitachon, trust the Kodesh Baruch Hu. If your body hurts, your body hurts, finish. But if it's just a mental thing, so Hashem says control yourself, control your attitude and have proper bitachon and don't be upset. So they weren't matir, that's a mental tsar, only physical. So mainly, he said the same thing over here. The guy says, okay, what kind of onik Shabbos am I have? I'm not going to be able to buy the lottery ticket. That's mental anguish. That you're not supposed to have. That, have your onik Shabbos, enjoy, and realize that everything's from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So again, the final conclusion was, you should not buy the lottery ticket with the money that he has, or rather, you should have his gefilte fish like he has every week. Next. Says that Yosef was taken from jail, Yitzu Mina Bor. Is that there's a klal gadol that we have, and that is, a person does a mitzvah, the mitzvah itself raises him up. A person does an aveira, the aveira himself punishes him. We see an example of this in Hanukkah. Right? The Yevanim says they wanted to push, they were poshed yadam bibenos Yisrael. Right, it says Basula Nises Tibal La Hegmon Trila. Right, if a woman's getting married first time, she has to first live with the Hegmon. So that was the decree of the Avera of the Yevani. And what happened in the end? Where the miracle come from? The woman. They wanted to attack the women, so in the end, the women got them, and the daughter of Yochanan Kohen Gadol chopped the king's head off. So there, the Avera person there, that's what gives them the punishment. Find that also by Chanukah, by Purim. In the time of Haman, what did Haman built his eitz in order to hang Mordechai? What happened in the end? He got hung on it, etc. It's an interesting maisa. There was once a non-religious fellow, and he went to this doctor, was a religious doctor in B'nai Brak. And he asked the doctor if he could, he, where he came, he said he has a friend of his that got hurt and injured on his feet or whatever, and he's had some surgeries, and he said he wants to know if this doctor would take his case and, you know, take care of him, whatever. So he agreed, and in the meantime they were, you know, schmoozing about this and about that. And they came on to a topic, a little bit about Shakafa. And the doctor says, you know, that everything that happens is not us. It's a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Whatever Hashem wants happens, whatever he doesn't want doesn't happen, it's not us. It's everything's a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So this non-religious person says, sorry, doctor, I disagree with you. I know you're talking about God. It's not God. It's we're in control. So whatever we want, we do, and that's it. And we're careful, so we're, nothing's going to bad happen to us. If we're not careful, then, you know, it's up to us. So, you know, of course, doctor disagreed, but he was convinced that a person can control himself. He says, and my friend also, he hurt his foot, you know, and he hurt his foot because he wasn't careful, you know. Nitkal posheyahu, you know. A person has to, you know, be careful, watch where you're going, and watch where you're going, nothing's bad is going to happen to you, you know, so you're in control. Fine. So, the guy left the office, doctor's office. A minute or two later, the doctor hears a shriek coming from the parking lot. Screaming, it sounded like this guy. He runs out, and sure enough, he sees this guy next to his car. His trunk is open. The guy's lying on the ground next to his car, and he's gushing blood from one of his eyes. So he runs over. What happened? The guy, you know, after he left the doctor, I went to his car and I opened his trunk to put something in. So something happened with the trunk, and it sprung open on him, and the corner of the trunk hit his eye, ripped his eye out of the socket. He was gushing blood. It was a terrible. So the doctor quickly went into action, and he, you know, called the ambulance, and he called a friend, and not doctor he knew, that's an eye specialist, and he had to go in the ambulance with him. Because they rushed him to the hospital, he immediately went straight into the operating room. He was operated on for 6 hours, and finally the doctor said, okay, they nisim, they saved his eye, mamish nisim, and but he said, you know, it's probably not going to see the same, but okay, at least they saved his eye. Anyways, so when this guy got better, he sent a letter to the doctor, and he said, Hashem showed me that, in fact, what you said was right. Right? He said, oh, we're in control, we can take care of ourselves. He says, Hashem showed me right on the spot that you're right. And he says, please daven for me that I should be zoche to be a Yehudi ma'amin, a believing yid. Says that Yosef was brought before Paro, Yevoel Paro. There's a maisa with Yecheskel Abramsky. He was once the Av Beis Din in London. And a yid came up to him that didn't want him, that didn't have a bris milah. And he asked Rav Yecheskel to be his Mesader Kedusha. So he said, nothing doing, you know, I'm not going to be Mesader Kedushin for a guy who doesn't want to have a bris. The guy got upset, and he started to turn him into the officials. So where did he go? To the Queen of England. So he went to the Queen of England, said that the rabbi doesn't want to give me a thing, a chuppah Kedushin. So the Queen of England called in Rav Abramsky. He wasn't scared. He came in with his rumbum under his arm. And he said to the queen, explained his position. He said, look, he opened up the Rambam in Hilchas Mila, and says over there, a person purchases an Eved Kanani, so he has to have a Bris Mila. So the Eved, he says, the Rambam says, for 12 months, Megalgalei Mimo. And you have to, you can try to convince him to have a bris mila when he's with you for 12 months. If he still doesn't want to, then you're not allowed to keep him around anymore. So he said to the queen, that's exactly what I was doing with this guy. I was trying to convince him to have a bris mila. So I figured if I say I'm not going to give you, you know, marry you, that might, you know, say, okay, fine, and I'll have his bris. So it was my way of begalgalim imo to get him to have a bris. She accepted that. There's other cases within our past history which were the officials were not so liberal, and if the rabbis didn't do what they were told, they had their head chopped off. And one such store, I think we even mentioned it before, but it's cute, so I'll mention it again, with the note of Yehuda. Right? Once a Kohen came to him and asked him to be Masada Kedushin for him, but he wanted to marry a Grusha, a divorcee, which he was obviously not allowed to do. So Nobi Yehuda said, nothing doing. I'm not going to marry a Kohen to a Grusha. Forget it. So he says, oh yeah? So he went also to the higher officials, and it went all the way to the Queen of Austria, Maria Theresa, name was. And took it right to her, to the queen. And she knew that Nodim, he was a very, you know, respected rabbi and everything, so she didn't want to, you know, have him executed. But she just said to him, listen, Rabbi, you just better do, you know, give him the Masada Kedushin or else. So he had no other choice, so to speak. So he said, fine. He told the Kohen, fine, I'll Masada Kedushin. Oh, great. So this comes the night of the wedding, and everybody wants to see this. You know, this is big news here. So they're under the chuppah, and the Lord Behuda says, okay, time for the Kedushin, takes out the ring, gives it to the chassan, says, okay, now say after me, and then put the ring on the finger of your kala. Okay, he said, no problem. So he says, hare, hare, at, at. Right? Mekudesh asli, betabadzu, kadas Maria Theresa. So everybody started laughing their heads off. Right? He said, listen, you know, it's not kadas Moshe of Israel over here, it's kadas Maria Theresa. So that's, you want to, so fine. So everybody was laughing, and they all left the chasana, and that was the end of that. Okay. It's an interesting Kedushas Levi. Levi Yitzchak Miberditchev. Taicha the Pasuk in this week's Sedra. Said that Yosef told his brothers, they didn't know, of course, it was Yosef, and he wanted to make sure they bring Binyamin. So he said, it says, Vayomar Alehem Yosef, Vayomar Shlishi. So he told them on the third day, Zosasu Vichyu. So he told them, this is what you should do and live, if you want to live. Es Elokim Ani Yare. I'm a God fearing person. Im Keinim Atem. If you're, what you're saying is true, the story you're telling me, that you have a brother, you know, back in Eretz Canaan, etc. So go and bring your brother, you know, Binyamin, go bring him. And in the meantime, I'm going to hold one of you captive, right, Shimon, and until you bring your brother, and then everything will be okay. And then it says v'yasuchem, and they did so. So the Kedushas Levi has two questions. It says, first of all, the order of the pasuk is very strange. Why? Because it should have said right away, El Selokim Ani Yare. First thing he should have said, okay, listen, I'm not trying to stumble. I'm a God-fearing person. And then he should have gone with all things. Zos Asu V'Yekyu, this is what you do, should live. Go and get your brother. But first he said, this is what you should do and live. Then he said, I'm a God-fearing person. And then he went and continued and told them what to do. Very strange order. Secondly, it says at the end, V'yasu Chen, and they did it. But they didn't do it. Right, they were going to go do it, but they didn't do it yet. He said that you have to bring your brother back, and then I'll know what you're saying. And it says, and they did it, but they didn't. They're going to, they're on the way, but they hadn't left yet even. So why does it mean they did so? They didn't yet. So he says a whole different taich in the pasuk. He says that sometimes you have a person that's really annoying, right? Gets on your nerves, bothers you, and right, and you want to get rid of the guy. You know, you can't take him anymore. So he says the pasukim here are giving an eitzah of how to do so. What is that? Right. Instead of getting to fights or this or that, no, it's the opposite. So the person should dan that person l'chavschus and say, whatever he's doing, as annoying as he is, and all the things he's doing to me, he has a good reason. He's a Yir Shemayim. He's doing it for good reasons. I don't know why. I don't understand it. But dan l'chavschus. He said, if you do that, you'll see that everything will work its way out. Everything will be shalom. So he said, where do we see this? From this pasuk. And that's the order over here. Yosef first said, zos asu v'chyu. He says, you're thinking, you know, I'm a bad person, and I'm, you know, causing you tzaras. Do this, do that, whatever. You're spies, right? So you want to get rid of me. So zos asu v'chyu. This is what you should do if you want to live. You want me to want everyone to be pierced? You want to get rid of me? Here's what you should do. Es Elokim ani yare. I'm a God-fearing. Meaning, you should dun me lechavschus as if I'm a God-fearing person. Because that's the way you get rid of somebody that's bothering you. And if you do that, then you'll see everything will work out. And that's the order of the psukim. First he says, to get rid of me, what? Judge me as if I'm a God-fearing person. And then, go get your brother. And then thinking that there's a good reason for all of this. And there's a... And therefore, what does it say at the end? V'yasuchein. What does it mean, v'yasuchein? They did his eitzah. They did their eitzah, what he said, and he said, okay, fine. And sure enough, the next pasuk says right after that, it says that the, what did the brothers do after they left? They said, aval asheimim anachnu alachinu. That they blame themselves. They said, okay, it's right, whatever happens, not this guy, this viceroy of Egypt, it's us. We're to blame. So they took his eitzah. And they said, okay, we're going to dam l'chavskos, it's our problem. What happened here is us. Mainly said, no, that was the eitzah that Yosef was giving. Okay. It's a nice taicha. It says, l'hashiv kaspei mishal sako. What happened? Yosef told the person in his house to, when the brothers are leaving, to give them food, sacks of food, and to give their money back. So he asks the Briskarov, I believe. Yeah, the Briskarov asked, why did Yosef do that? Why did he put the money back in their sack? I mean, give him the food. Why was it necessary to put the money back? She says, very nice. He says he wanted to make sure that his brothers come back. He said, it's just a matter of food, you know. Food, if they don't want to come back, they're not going to come back. Even if it means they're going to starve. If they want to come back, they're not going to come back. But how can I make them come back? Put their money in their back in their thing. The money that they came to pay for the food, put it back. Why? Because that's gezel. So to prevent gezel, no problem. My brothers are coming back. If they come home, they see their money, but they're going to for sure come back. Why? Because they have to return the money. Gezel, that's food, not food. They'll starve, whatever. That they... But to have stolen money with them, that they're not going to muskim. So in order to be sure that they're going to come back, they put their money back in. They're coming back. Okay. It says that the end of the Sedra, Yosef had this cup, right, that was for divination. Nachesh Yinachesh. So it's interesting, Maisa. It was once a couple that... The Shalom Bais was not so good, to say the least. And they were living in strife for a number of years. So finally, they came to the point where they decided they have to separate, have a divorce. So they came to the Beis Din, and they sat down with the Beis Din to write the get and to give it. Now, to write the get, it has to be done. Lishma, everything, it takes a while. It takes a couple hours. It doesn't happen in a few minutes. So they went through the whole thing, whatever, it took a while. Finally, the get was all printed up, all by the sofa, all ready to go, ready to... All that was left to do was the husband to hand it over to the wife. So, just as the sofa got up, you know, and was going to give the get to the husband, he accidentally spilt his cup of coffee that was on the table, went over the get, and it, erased it, and... That's it. They have to write up a new get, which is a whole, you know, again, a whole big to do. What happens? All of a sudden, the woman stands up and she says, "This is a simon from Shemaim that we shouldn't get divorced." You know, you're about to give the get, and the coffee spills on it. Right? It's a sign from Hashem. I don't think we should get divorced. I don't want to get divorced anymore. Okay. All of a sudden, the husband stands up and he says, "I agree. I agree. This is a sin from Shammai. If this happened, we're not mentally divorced." And they both decided to try it again. So the Rabbanim said, Mazel tov, Mazel tov, Chasen and Kala. And they closed the file. And that was the end of that. However, the question arose afterwards, was that okay, Torah-wise? Meaning, we know there's an Isser of Nihush. You're not allowed to do superstitious things. You know, things like the Gemara says, a person's eating some bread and it falls out of his mouth and he says, oh, that's a bad omen, you know, a bad sign, that means I shouldn't go out today, I shouldn't do this, whatever. Or it says if a deer crosses a person's path, he's in nowadays there's like, at least when I was a kid, it was like a black cat crosses your path, it's supposed to be bad. You know, those are asr. Those are what's called nichush, right? Bad omens. Right? These are totally out. So is this the same thing? You know, oh, coffee spilled on the get. That's it. It's a sign we shouldn't get divorced. Is that okay? Is there maybe that's nichush? Interesting child. So one maaser we have that perhaps could answer this is happened with Rav Shach. So there was a couple that had a son who was quite ill, and he had to have an operation. So the doctor scheduled his operation for Sunday, and what happened? On Motzei Shabbos, all of a sudden his fever shot up. He got very, very, very high fever, and the doctor said he can't have the operation on the next day because after having this fever, it's dangerous. So fine. So the surgeon comes in once a week for this, so he had to reschedule for the Sunday after that. Wouldn't you know it, as soon as that, right after that, his fever went down, the whole week, fine. Motzei Shabbos, again his fever went up. Couldn't have the surgery again. Right after that, his fever went down, till the next. Motzei Shabbos, again it went up. Three times it happened. So I said, well, this is, maybe we're being told something over here. So they decided to go to Rav Shach and ask him. So they said, you know, Rabbi, three times in a row, all of a sudden, Motzei Shabbos, just before the operation, maybe we shouldn't have the operation. So Rav Shach asked him one question. He says, tell me, do the doctors say that he should have this operation? So they said, yeah, of course, the doctors say he has to have the operation. So he says, so if you don't have the operation, he says, that's an issur nichush. That's like we said, that's superstition. Oh, this happens, a sign that, right? And therefore, you're not allowed to not have the operation. You have to have the operation. Doctors say he has to have it. So he gave the boy a bracha, that all should go well, and he did have the operation eventually, and everything worked out okay. So from here, it would seem that there would be a problem with the case of the get. However, we have another maisa, which was not that way, seems to be so. What happened? It was when the Gedolei Hador in Europe was Rav Mordechai Benet. He was a Rav of a town called Nikolsburg, and very chashuv a Rav. What happened? He was traveling away for one time, and he was a young man, and he was traveling away, and all of a sudden he dropped dead. He was in another town, and it was on Friday, Erev Shabbos, and he just dropped dead suddenly. So the people, they didn't have time to, they couldn't, you know, it was already, is this the Erev Shabbos? So they quickly buried him right there in that town. So when word got back to Nikolsburg, you know, he was the Rav of, the people were very upset. They said, you know, okay, it's bad enough, we lost our Rav, but at least let him be buried in our town. We can go to his kever, you know, and say, you know, he's far away now. He can't get to his kever so easily, whatever. So they wanted his body transferred. But it's not so simple. You can't just go transferring bodies around. So they sent the shaila to the Chasam Sofer. So the Chasam Sofer saw it was very urgent, and he stayed up till the wee hours of the morning writing a tshuva, and the tshuva was that it's okay, that they can transfer it. So he finally, after hours of writing this whole big tshuva to send them, when he gets up, all of a sudden, he tips over the ink container. Those days they didn't have, you know, they had ink container. The ink spilt over the whole tshuva and couldn't read it anymore. So you have to rewrite the whole thing. So, however, he said, Mina Shamayim, right? If this happened, it's Mina Shamayim that I shouldn't send him this tshuva. So he decided not to send him the tshuva. Didn't send him. What happens? 3 months later, he, in the dream, this Rav Mordechai Benet, there was Nifter, comes to him in a dream and tells him the following. He says, I want to tell you what happened. He says, if you notice, I died suddenly and I was buried in this other place. I was buried next to this the body of a woman. Who is that woman? That woman was the woman that I was engaged to and we broke up. And I didn't have proper mechila from her. So as a result, I was punished that I should die and be buried next to this woman. So that, however, my kapara, it was only necessary to have a 3-month kapara, to be buried there for 3 months next to her. Now the 3 months are over, so I can be now transferred back to Nikolsburg where I'm from. And that's how we told the Chasam Sofer in his dream. And accordingly, he said, oh, see, it was Mina Shemaim, and he didn't send the tshuva, and he sent the tshuva and was able to be transferred. So from here we see lefech, that, you know, he took as a sign the fact that the ink spilled, so it's like having the coffee spilling on the get. So it comes out, Lemaisa, okay, I don't know, kasha on the story with Rav Shach, but it comes out over here at least, that what's the difference? Why is it not nichush? Because nichush is something, when something happens, has no shaykhus to the thing. And I was, if a black cat crosses your path, what does that have to do with anything? You know, oh, because of that, I'm not going to, you know, do my business deal today because of bad luck. Well, what does a black cat have to do with anything? There's no shaykhus. You know, and the Gemara lists other things, like some bread falls out of your mouth or your stick falls out of your hand. So what does that got to do with what you're about to do? There's no kesher. But here, you know, I'm about to give the get, and now I can't. So that's a sign. That's a sign from Hashem. It's not something that has no shaykhus. And same thing over here. You know, I was about to give the tshuva, and the ink spilled on it. So it's related. So I can't give the tshuva that I was supposed to give. So that, but it's mina shamay. You know, so that seems to be the chum. Okay. So one last thing for Chanukah. Well-known Shaila Chiluk or whatever they ask about Hanukkah versus Purim, right? First of all, we find by Hanukkah and Purim an inyan of pursuing Nisa, right? To announce the Nes. But they ask, how come we don't find up other things? You know, to pursuing Nisa by Sukkot or Pesach or Shavuos or whatever. We do our mitzvah. It's not that. No need of announcing it, you know, pursuing Nisa. So they say very simple, because those are in the Torah, so they doesn't need any pursuing. You don't have to announce it. It's there. It's in the Torah. Everybody realizes what happened and the greatness. But something that happened later, and it's a Rabbanan institute of something to do, so that they have to make it well known, so you need pursuing Nisa. However, Rav Shlomo Kluger extends and asks another question. He says, why is it then that we have the difference between Hanukkah and Purim? In that Hanukkah, the Pirsum is everybody does it, everybody in his own house, and not only that, outside, everybody should see. It's like a major Pirsum. Whereas when it comes to Purim, okay, it's Pirsum, we need to read the Megillah, but not everybody reads the Megillah outside his house and announces it. Everybody gets together in shul inside and reads the Megillah. How come it's not the same Pirsumei Nisa? Whereas by Hanukkah, everybody does it outside, you know, everybody, the whole world should see. You know, why? It's a very interesting answer. It says there's a Shaila, what type of Nes is better? Is it a Nes that is L'mala Miyateva, supernatural miracle? Or a Nes that Hashem does in the natural way? So it seems to be a Machloikas in the Gemara. The Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Nun Gimel. It says there was once a man that his wife died just after she had given birth, and he was a poor man. He had nobody to nurse his baby, and his wife was nifter, and he couldn't afford to hire a nursemaid. He was very poor, so Hashem did a miracle, and the man himself was able to nurse his own child. So the Gemara has two opinions. One says, "Wow, this guy must be such a tzaddik because such an open miracle happened like that. Must be." So then the other opinion says, no, how bad is this man that Hashem had to change nature for this man? So to explain, one idea is what's the machlokes? That's what we said. In other words, there's an obvious supernatural miracle here, the man nursing the child. So is that something good or is that something bad? You know, one says, yeah, that's wonderful, he must be a big tzaddik, wow, supernatural thing. Other opinion says, no, when it's supernatural, it's better to a nes to happen naturally, not supernatural. That is that seems to be machlokes. Now, what's the maskana though? Well, there's a Gemara in Megillah in Daf Yud Aleph that says on the pasuk Vatzaltai Mimacha Mikra, Bishvil Atzlu Shaisa BiYisrael Shelo Asku BaTorah Nase Sono Shel Hakadosh Baruch Hu Mach. Says that what? That the Nes of Purim we know happened in a natural way, and the Gemara here is telling us that why did it happen in a natural way and not in a supernatural way? Because the Yidden were not Osek in Torah. They were punished. The Nes happened, but it happened in a quiet and natural way. It was a miracle, but this happened and that happened, and one thing led to the other until it wasn't a supernatural. Why? It was a punishment because they weren't Osek in Torah, says the Gemara in Megillah, Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. So Mele, why is it less? Because a Nes that happens naturally, people can say it's not a miracle. You can't see the miracle. Say, yeah, what do you mean miracle? Yeah, okay, this, and he overheard it, and he told Esther, and he said, you know what? A person could be machish and say, there's no Yad Hashem here. And therefore, it's not as good as a supernatural miracle, which is it's obviously Yad Hashem. And therefore, they were punished and had the miracle happen quietly with Hester Pani. Why? Because they were no seeking Torah, says Rosh Shlomo Kluger. Mele, now we can answer the question. That by Purim, why don't we have a super Pirsumi Nisa outside? Because, a Nes happened, but the Nes happened in a natural way. Why? Because they weren't Osik and Torah. And therefore, that's not something to be proud of. Oh, look at this Nes. I'm not so super proud of it. Lamaisa, it was a natural miracle because you weren't Osik and Torah. So you don't want to go announcing it, because what are you so proud of? And it happened like this because you weren't Osik and Torah. You want to announce that? But by Hanukkah, we had an open miracle. It wasn't a natural miracle. It was an open miracle. Whether it be the war, whether it be the menorah that lived for 8 days, right? It's supernatural. So that's something you can be proud about. Because that's a nes, that's the malamia teva. And that means not because of, a punishment for anything. It's, we deserve it, so to speak. Therefore, we have an open miracle. Therefore, our presume nisa is, we can be proud of. And therefore, everybody outside with his Chanukiah and announce to the world, we can be proud of it, because it was a miracle that happened. L'malam yatova. Hashem should bring us many more miracles. L'malam yatova. And of course, we await the Iker miracle. It's a miracle. But we should deserve at least the coming of Mashiach Tzidkenu. Yimhir v'yamin.